Last time we pointed out, we just started going through some of the interesting sugyas that come up in the second paragraph of Maseches Makos, and by going through, just literally listing the sugyas that come up in the second paragraph of Maseches Makos. So I thought maybe this week we would do some of the ones that aren't really Makos related, but are interesting topics that do come up over here. And Daf Chesam and Beis, here in the second paragraph of Maseches Makos, the Mishnah discusses if a father kills a son b'shogeg or a son kills a father b'shogeg, whether you go to Golos. And the Mishnah says, Ha'av Golal Yudea Ben, Va Ben Golal Yudea Av, that the son goes to Golos for killing a father and the father for killing the son. So frek the Gemara right off the bat. Ha'av Gola Al Yudea Ben, Va Amrit Yotza Av, Hamaka Espino. How can we say that the father goes to Golos Al Yudea Ben, but don't we say Yotza Ha'av, Hamaka Espino? That if a father is hitting his child, then the father does not go to Golos. So Gemara says, no, the Gamir. If the father is hitting the child when he's not doing a mitzvah, because the kid is already learning, so there's no mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, wait a second, we just learned last week that even if the kid is learning, you're supposed to hit him. No, you're not even teaching him Torah, you're just teaching him an umnas or something. But isn't that a mitzvah also to teach him an umnas, teach him a profession? The Gemara says, no, you're not even doing a mitzvah because he already has a profession, you just want him to get a better one. You know, the kid's a... I don't know, what's a profession parents don't like when their kids go into? I just had a guy in my house on Shabbos who, he has a master's degree in physical therapy, and he's a trained physical therapist, but he works selling socks. He started a company online that sells socks. So his parents, like, aren't so happy. They, you know, they were all excited that he's going to use his education and whatever, and he's selling socks. So the father's teaching the kid how to be a physical therapist, but the kid has a business, he's selling socks. So the father's not doing a mitzvah when he's hitting the kid. So if he hits the kid in that context, he would go to Golos because he's not doing a mitzvah. But then the Gemara says, wait a second, Haben Gola Al Yedea Av, a son goes to Golos if he kills his father by accident. Says Gemara, Minhi, I'll ask you, Stira, Make Nefresh, Prat Lemaka Aviv. It says Maka Nefesh, and doesn't that teach me Prat, that excludes the case of someone who's Maka Aviv, that a person's not Chayiv Golos if he hits his father, because normally you're only Chayiv Golos if the Chayiv Miso, if you only would have been Chayiv for this hitting had you killed the guy. But a child hitting his father is Chayiv Misa even if he doesn't kill him, and therefore it's not considered a Maka Nefesh when the child kills his father. So Rav Kana lo kasha ha-Rabbi Shimon v'ha-Rabbanon. That's a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon d'amar chenek chomer misayiv shigga sayiv nitla kapara shigas. Okay, so the Gemara makes this tally in a machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon, whether chenek is more chomer than sayiv, or sayiv is more chomer than chenek. So ultimately the Gemara is two deos, whether maka nefesh excludes killing a father, or it excludes a case of wounding a father. But what, be that as it may, there's definitely a chiv misa for someone to hit his father, to wound his father. So that halacha, that there's a chiv misa for someone to wound his father, that's highlighted by the Gemara here and by Rashi here, it was what I wanted to look into a little bit today. Look into the sugya together. This comes up a lot when it comes to a son who is a doctor, or a therapist, or a nurse, or anything, a child who's treating a parent. So can you do a blood test on the parent? That's a wounding of the parent. Can you give an injection to the parent? A lot of times, elderly parents are cared for by their children. So a lot of times the care will involve something that may involve wounding the parent. So is there a chiyuv, is there a problem? The primary sugya is not really a makos sugya, but as we've seen in the past, there is a lot of crossover between Maseches Makos and Maseches Sanhedrin. The primary sugya is a sugya Maseches Sanhedrin. So first, the pasuk says, Maka vimo mosimas. Very clear in the pasuk, if someone is Maka vimo, someone hits his father or mother, mosimas, chayv misa. If you hit your father or mother, that's the straightforward halacha. Says the Mishnah in Masech Sanhedrin, Elvein Anachnok, and the following people are Chayiv Chenek. Hamaka Aviv V'imo, first one is Chayiv Chenek. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin lists off people who are Chayiv, each of the Dalad Misos Beis Din. It goes through lists, just like we have Elvein Halokin over here. And Elu Hin Hagolim, these are the people that Chayv Golus, these are the people that Chayv Malkus. So in Maseches Sanhedrin, you have these are the people that Chayv Chenek and Skila and Sveifa, etc. So who are the people that Chayv Chenek? First one on the list is someone who's Maka of Avi'imo, someone who hits his father or mother. Says the Gemara, Maka Avi'imo Minalan, where do I know that you're Chayv Chenek for being Maka Avi'imo? When the rule is, says the Gemara, very important rule, whenever the Torah says Yechayv Misa and doesn't tell you which Misa, it always means Chenek. That's always Chenek. So Ema Adukatale Miktal. So you might say Adukatale Miktal that you're only going to be Chayv Misa if you kill him. Salkadaitach Katal Chad Besayif. No, that can't be. You would never have such a havamina that it's only if you kill him, because it wouldn't make sense that if you kill a regular person, someone who's not your parent, you're going to be chayv saif. And then you kill your parent, that you should be chayv a lesser misa, that you should only get chenek. That wouldn't make sense. So the pasuk must be telling me that you're chayv chenek, not for killing a parent, but for hitting a parent, for wounding a parent. If it were about killing a parent, it wouldn't make sense that you'd be chayv a lesser misa for killing a parent than you would for anyone else. Hanich l'man yamar chenekal. Well, that's a great proof if you assume that chenek is a lesser misa. L'man yamar chenekhamer. But if you assume chenek is a more severe misa, ma'ik l'meimer, then what's the proof that this pasuk is talking about hitting? Maybe it's talking about only if you kill the parent, and chenek is more severe than sayif, which you would get for killing anybody else. Elda says, "Amar mitchsev maki ish v'meis mos yimas uksev obe eveiko biyadov yamas shemamina kalhech dika kostam lav misahu." That we derive from Sukkim that whenever it says make, make doesn't mean killing. Normal make, unless it says make nefesh or something like that, just the word make lahakot, to hit someone, means to hit. It doesn't mean to kill. So when the pasuk says make aviv yima mos yimas, it means if you hit your parents, your chayiv misa, without necessarily killing them. If you kill them, your chayiv misa for sure, but even if you hit them, your chayiv misa, what misa is it? One is chayiv chenek. That is the first important passage in the Gemara. Next passage is the following Mishnah, the Mishnah Daf Peheyam and Beis, where the Mishnah says, yes, one is chayiv misa for hitting their parents, but there are limits to that. It's not no matter what. It's not across the board. Hamakav vimo inu chayiv achias ben chabura. For example, let's say someone hits their parents and they don't. Someone slaps their father on the back. High five to the father. You had a game with your father. Someone hits a home run or whatever, scores a touchdown, and you high five your father. You just hit your father. A serious high five. That chayiv chenek for hitting your father. So the Mishnah says, no, only if you wounded him. Achias ben chabura. That's only if you make a chabura, you make an injury. If someone hits a home run and you punch your father in the face, so then then you're going to be chayiv misa. But if you high five your father, it doesn't leave any mark. It doesn't wound him. So then you're not going to be chayiv misa. You slap your father on the back. How you doing? You know, something like that. Then you're not going to be chayiv misa. It's only if you wound him. It's only if you leave a mark. Now that is one critical exception. Also, the Mishnah says that you're only chayiv if you do it while the father's alive. If you wound the father after he's dead, you're not chayiv misa for that. An interesting, the need to teach that is interesting. But what the Mishnah is trying to do is trying to contrast cursing a parent with hitting a parent. Cursing a parent, one is chayiv even after they're dead. Hitting them, you're only chayiv while they're alive. Zechomer b'mekalel mi b'makeh. In that way, cursing a parent is more severe than hitting a parent. Because when one curses a parent, lachar misa, even after the parent is dead, chayiv. When one is maka a parent, when one hits a parent, lachar misa, they're pater. Then there's one more critical Gemara. So far, what do we have? We have one point. Point number one is that there is a chiyuv misa for hitting, and not even if not killing, just hitting a parent. Point number two is a little bit of a limitation. That chiyuv misa is only if you wound them. But a high five is not going to do. You're not going to be chayiv misa for something that's not going to wound them. Yeah.
So all, this din is on the side of kibur aveim.
It's a separate din than kibur aveim. It's maka of the imamosimas.
So do the same ramifications of Kibbutz Avim apply in this case in which the, there are certain cases, certain situations of Kibbutz Avim that a father can be mukhl.
Ah, so by Kibbutz Avim, for example, we know, Ha'av shemachal al kvodo, kvodo machal, if the father says, it's okay, I don't mind, don't do this, then the mechila works. And the general understanding of that halacha is that it's not that it's really an exception to Kibbutz Avim or that he could be mochel his kavod, it's that the very definition of kavod is what the guy wants. Meaning, if I don't find it honorable for you to put on my shoes for me in the morning, that's the example of Shechter always gives, that if his children would put on his shoes, he would say, I'm not crippled, I could put on my own shoes, leave me alone, just get away from me. So if he doesn't find it, you know, as a nice thing, he finds it to be annoying when his children puts on his shoes, well then it's not kavod. By definition, ritzono shel adam zeu kvodo. What a person wants you to do for him, that defines what's kavod. Would you say the same thing about makkah? Let's say the father wants you to wound him, he wants you to injure him. Would you say, well, ritzono shel adam zeu kvodo? So part of what we're going to have to figure out is how much of this is a din of kibbutz avim, and how much of this is a din of, it's a separate halacha, makkah v'imo. Meaning, this is, every once in a while, you have a halacha, most halachas are independent. You have halachas that fit into general categories, but they're basically independent mitzvahs. Every once in a while, you have a halacha that seems to be caught between two mitzvahs, or between two other halachas. That there are two existing halachas, and this halacha sort of fits wedged somewhere in between. Like, we have a halacha called Kibbutz Avim, or Mora Avim. And then we have another halacha, that you're not allowed to hit your fellow Jew. Those are two independent halachos that have nothing to do with each other. And then wedged in between those halachos is makkah of vi'imo, hitting specifically your father and mother. So the father and mother element is very similar to kibbutz avim. The makkah part is very similar to hitting another Jew. How much of the makkah of vi'imo is patterned after kibbutz avim? How much of it is patterned after hitting another Jew? Right, what exactly are the gedarim? Meaning, what if you, so now by hitting another Jew, let's say the person wants you to hit them, the mochel says, okay, have at me. It makes me feel good, it makes me, it will be a kapara. Just give me a, you know, good punch right there, right now. So are you allowed to do that? So that's a major discussion. Is a person's body and well-being something that he has the ability to be mochel? That's the paintball shaila. Can you play paintball? What are you doing when you're playing paintball? You're saying, shoot me. And you'll have these, and the kids come back from paintball, they show off their welts, you know, their bruises. Yeah, you see from close range what this guy did, you know, look how tough I am. Or, you know, it's like it's a badge of honor. But are you allowed to do that? Is our body something that we have the ability to be mochel? So that's also something that maybe is worthy of consideration in the context of makkah avivi imo. Can
it be? So like an autopsy, yeah. Like that shot that comes up.
An autopsy? Well, that would be after a person's dead.
Right, but is it our...
Is it our... Right? Well, that's also a different issue. There's an Isser of Nivola Mace, and there's a Bitl Mitzvah's Kvura. So there are other issues, and there's an Isser of Hanam in a Mace. So there are a lot of other issues relevant to an autopsy. In the debut, there's a famous truth about it. It's also a fascinating topic, but it's so much bigger than this, than this one element. So the other Gemara that's critical to know, and then we'll be able to move on to what the Rishonim say, and then hopefully the Poskim. The other Gemara that's critical to know is source number 4. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Pei Dalet Amud Beis. In between these two Mishnayos, the Gemara raises the following Shaila. The Ibailu, Ben Mahu Sheyakiz Dam La'aviv. Can a son do bloodletting for his father? Can a son take his father's blood? So bloodletting was, why would they do bloodletting? What was the purpose?
Huh?
Yeah, it was either curing disease, health, maintaining health, or something that they would do that they viewed as a healthy thing. So it was not viewed as a vicious thing to do to somebody. It was something that was beneficial for people. They used to do bloodletting. In fact, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe talks about giving blood. He was asked whether it's mutter to give blood because, after all, you're being chovel in yourself. You're wounding yourself. So Rav Moshe says you can't call it that you're wounding yourself, because they used to do bloodletting all the time and they viewed it as therapeutic. And even if you want to say that nishtana, that things have changed and it's no longer therapeutic, you can't say that that which Chazal assumed throughout all of Shas was therapeutic is called chavala, that it's called wounding yourself. There's actually some studies that show that there is health benefits to giving blood that may have been what the bloodletting originally was all about. That there was some help. A doctor told me, his specialist in infectious diseases, told me that he sent me a study that was done about people who give blood regularly. Who give blood regularly are less prone to certain diseases. I don't remember what the svara was. There was some good explanation for it, why they'd be less prone to certain diseases. Something based on menstruating women. They find that once a woman stops menstruating, she stops expelling a certain amount of blood, then she becomes more prone to certain diseases. They made a tushtel. I don't remember the exact connection. But anyway, the Hakazas Dam was considered healthy. So what if the father says, you're a bloodletter for a living? The father says, do me a favor, can you let my blood? Right? You didn't use your master's in physical therapy or sell socks. You decided to do bloodletting. Parent says, can you let my blood for me? So Rav Masna Amar, Vahafta L'Recha Kamocha. So what's he saying? Vahafta L'Recha Kamocha, you say, means no. Do you know why?
Maybe yes, in this case.
Okay. Pashto says, after the Chamocha means?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy wants his blood, but it's a good thing, it's a healthy thing. You'd want someone to do it for you. He can't do it himself, so do it for him. Unbelievable. That's an application of after the Chamocha. You know how many times after the Chamocha comes up in Shas, how many different places, how many different contexts the pasuk of after the Chamocha is used in a halachic context? Where the Torah, where the Gemara tells me a halacha based on the after the Rech Kamocha, and we know Zekal God of the Torah, and you know, don't walk in front of me, don't walk behind me, you know, and all that. But where does it come up in halacha, the after the Rech Kamocha? What? By getting married? What does it say? But what about getting married? Don't marry a woman you haven't seen, lest you find her unattractive, because if you then find her unattractive, you will be in violation of the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Because every time you look at her, you'll be like, oh God, I can't believe I married her. So it's important to see her first, so that you won't be in violation of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Where else? The Gemara doesn't... There's no such thing as Gezel Shena.
It's only a violation of the Haftal Recha Kamocha.
Right. But that's, I'm asking where the Gemara uses the Haftal Recha
Kamocha.
In a halachic context. Where does the Gemara use it? So one is getting married. The other is, ironically, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about when you kill somebody. When Beis Din kills somebody, not you. When Beis Din kills somebody, because of Chayv Misa, Bar Lo Misa Yafa, you have to choose a proper death. A death that will be, you know, pleasant. Like, you don't want to make it too torturous a death. So that's why when we're giving someone skila, we take his clothing off first so that he'll die more quickly. It's more pleasant to die quickly than to die slowly. You have to choose a Misa Yafa, a proper good death for him. Why do I have to choose a proper death? If it was you getting killed, you would want to die quickly. So when you do it to somebody else, make sure he dies quickly also. Those are the two classic examples, the halakhic examples. I always thought it was a little funny that it's the most loving relationship you have in your life, and when you're killing someone who's like this awful Russia who managed to figure out how to get killed by Beis Din, you know, to be that one lucky winner once every 70 years, to be the one that's getting killed by Beis Din, those two are the examples of after the Rech Kamocha, probably indicating to us, yeah, and also everyone else in between, you know, that there's a mitzvah of after the Rech Kamocha. But over here it comes up in Allah context also. But it's an interesting context that we're asking about an iser of maka of meis mosimas. So what about the father wants hakazas dam? So after the Rech Kamocha, you got to do it. What if the father says, I would like for you, think of another iser. I want you to do for me. I would like for you to.
Violate Shabbos.
Yeah, to turn on the light for me on Shabbos. You have to the Rech Kamocha. You'd want someone to turn on lights for you, so turn on light for him. But we don't say that. The father's asking you to do an aver over here. He's asking you to be Makas Dam. What does after the Rech Kamocha have to do with anything? How does that help? If there's an Isser of Maka of Vimes, Maka of Vimo, Mosimas, how does a father telling you to do it, and you wanting to love him and show respect by the after the Rech Kamocha, how does that help? The implication is that somehow it's not a violation of Maka Avim Mosimas because of the after the Rech Kamocha. When it comes to hitting or injuring another person, why when I take blood from anybody, is it not a violation of hitting another Jew, of wounding another Jew? Why when I treat somebody, when I do surgery on someone, is it not a violation of wounding another person? I'm cutting him open. Cutting him with a knife. Real blood coming out. Why is that not a violation?
Constructive.
It's constructive. The Rambam writes that someone who's makeh chavero derech nitzayon, in a combative way, in a way that shows that he's trying to hurt him, that's the violation of makeh. That's the violation of wounding someone. When we're talking about regular people, other people. So maybe what the Gemara is saying over here is the same is true by aviv v'ima. Meaning, remember we said it's wedged between two halachos? It's wedged between kibud av v'im on the one hand and just hitting other people on the other hand. Over here, maybe we're saying the geder doesn't follow kibud av v'im gedar. Kibud av v'im geder would be, they're telling you to do something that's aser, you can't do it. You have to kvod amako. But if you're paying attention to the gedarim of makeh, the gedarim of haka'a are such that if you're not doing it in a combative way, it's mutter. So the Haftal Rech Mocha says this isn't combative, this is something that he wants, it's something that he's interested in. Ah, if it's something that he's interested in, then it's not a violation of makeh. Good, that's Rav Masna. Rav Dimi Bar Chinna Amar, makeh adam u makeh behema. Ma makeh behema l'refua pater, af makeh adam l'refua pater. Same halacha, that it's mutter, but for a different limud. It's not based on Vavtal Rech Mocha. We somehow compare hitting a person with hitting an animal. And just like if you wound an animal in the course of therapy, in the course of practicing in your veterinary practice, you do surgery on an animal, that's potter. So too, Makadam L'Rafua is potter. What word is a little bit surprising over here? The Gemara asked, are you allowed to do something? What, how do we say allowed to do something in halachic terminology? Mutter. What does it say over here?
Pater.
Pater. I don't want to know that I'm pater. Okay, so you're not going to kill me. Am I allowed to do it? That was the shayla. So that's a little striking that it uses the term pater instead of the term mutter. Sounds like it means mutter. So right there, what do we have? Two deos in Amoraim that seem to be saying it's okay either completely or at least to the point that you'd be pater when you bloodlet for a parent, when you're doing some medical therapy on a parent. Then says the Gemara, Rav lo shavik lebrei lemishka leisilo, Marbered Ravina lo shavik lebrei lemifka leikavsa. Two great Amoraim, Rav and Marbered Ravina, would not allow their children, their sons, to do medical treatments on them. Dilma chavil. Because they might injure them in the course of the medical treatment. Vavle shigas isser, then they're going to be violating the sisser b'shogeg. So frankly, Mari hachi achanami, then they shouldn't let any Jew do any treatment on them, lest the person wound them and violate an isser. Yeah, but what's the worst kind of isser some other Jew is going to do? It's just an isser lav to wound me. For my child to wound me is an isser misa. I don't want him to take that risk. What's the impression you get from this Gemara? That it's mutter, that it's aser for a child to do medical therapy on a parent? Why do you say aser? They wouldn't let their children. Now, why would one argue mutter?
It's their children. They were in higher level.
Yeah, and what's the proof that it would be mutter?
After the Rech HaKamo.
The Gemara started by saying, is it mutter? And two Amoraim, Rav Masna says, V'atal Rech Kamocha. Yeah, it's mutter. Rav Dim Barchinna. It's just like Makabehema L'Rafua. It's okay. You're allowed to hit an animal for Rafua. You can hit it. So both... Not Kalvachomer. It's that the Torah, it's in the same Pasuk, says Makadam Makabehema to tell you that some of the rules of one apply to the other. So it's interesting. When the Gemara is answering what the halacha is, the halachic answers are mutter mutter or mutter pater. When the Gemara gets to stories, what did people do? Maisarav, how did people behave? Oh, well, they did, well, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't allow that. you get the impression that it's asur. So what do you do with that? So do we allow it or do we not allow it? Right? That's where we're left when the Gemara ends. So what you need to do is you need to see how the Rishonim dealt with this Gemara. What did the Rishonim say about such a Gemara? So the best summary of the Rishonim in terms of how we could derive halacha is always found in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef in Yerodeh Sim Reish Memalith, and it's obviously going to be a precursor to what he writes in the Shulchan Aruch, so it's going to be the best way to understand the halacha. So if you look in the Beis Yosef, source number 5, just another line in that Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin just says that that to take out a splinter, you don't have to worry about. To help a parent take a splinter out is mutter, even though you might wound them, because it's only going to be mekalka. Not by a parent. The Gemara said on Shabbos, to take out a splinter, you don't have to worry that you might make a chavala to take out a splinter, because even if you do make a chavala, even if you do make an injury, it's only going to be in derech mekalkel. But for a parent, you shouldn't take out a splinter even, because you might make a wound. That would be the same as being makiz dan. Someone just asked me on Shabbos, a kid had glass, stepped on glass, had a piece of glass stuck in their foot. So he said, can we take it out? Impressed that someone asked the child, can you guess if it was a mother or father that asked that child? I said, wait a second. There's no way it's not already out. Why are you asking? If there's a mother home, the glass is already out. He said, yeah, I was arguing with my wife. I said, wait, we should ask a Shaila. She's like, I'll take the Gehenim if this is wrong. We're taking the glass out. So, yeah. So that's this halacha, that you're allowed to do it because you're not necessarily going to make a wound, and even if you do make a wound, it's mekalka, right? That's the
same. For yourself, but for the parent.
Right, for the parent, for sure. Meaning on a parent, to do it on a parent, then it's shigaskila. We don't want to, because even if
that's
it is mekalka, because mekalka doesn't help for a parent. Mekalka is not a svara that works for a parent. Mekalka works for melacha Shabbos, because you have a din of melachas machsheves on Shabbos. But when you wound a parent in a destructive way, you chayv misa for wounding a parent, right? So in fact, that's the very nature of the chiyuv. So mekalka is only svara that works when it comes to Shabbos. So what are we paskin over here? So says the Beis Yosef, if your father has a splinter, don't take it out, you might wound him. This is all a quote from the Torah. Shouldn't do the bloodletting for the parents. That's if there's someone else that can do it. If there's no one else that can do it, then you should do it. Where does he get that from? Did the Gemara say there's a distinction whether there's someone else available or not? Do you see such a distinction? Because it's time isn't save a life. It's like bloodletting is maintenance. It's Yeah, it's not, if it's life-saving, for sure, then there's no
question. It seems like the halacha is you can do it, but like they're being mapped. It's like, but if there's no
if you understand the Gemara, that the halacha is that it's mutter. And all these stories that we tell of people who didn't allow their sons, that was just them being extra machmir, because they didn't want, for whatever reason, they wanted to be extra machmir. So what we derive from that Gemara is that this is something that's worthwhile to be machmir for, but it's technically mutter. And therefore, if the only available bloodletter is your son, then it's okay, because it's technically mutter. It's just that if you have other people available, it's worthwhile to be machmir for.
Pikuach nefesh, you're the only surgeon that can do it.
That's if he's pikuach nefesh. Again, we're not talking pikuach nefesh over here. We're talking about bloodletting, which is not pikuach nefesh. So says the Beis Yosef, kol ze divrei Rambam, perkei milchos mamzerim. This is all in the Rambam. The time when we digashim breish parak nechnakin, he quotes the Gemara that we had. So skip down where he gets past the Gemara. Umashmalela Rambam zal, about the eighth line. Umashmalela Rambam zal. The Rambam understood this Gemara. Derav Masna v'Rav Dimi lehetera pashtua. That when Rav Masna and Rav Dimi were asked the Shaila, what did they say? They both said, it's mutter. Well, wait a second. That's not what Rav Dimi said. Rav Dimi didn't say the word mutter. What word did he use? He used the word pater. So upater dam Rav Dimi pater umutterhu. Dumi the pater dam maka behema. When it says pater, he really means mutter. Meaning sometimes the word pater means pater avalaser. Most of the time, it means that you're not going to be chayv to pay, but it's also to do. And every once in a while, you have a pater that actually means pater umutter. Over here, it means pater umutter. So the way the Rambam says the Gemara is both of the halachic answers were mutter. Aye, what about the stories that the Gemara then told? Vuv the Rav, the Marbre de Ravina, lo polig apashta de Rav Masav Rav Dimi, de Pashtua la Teira. And when the Gemara told the stories, they're not arguing on the halachic conclusion that it is mutter. De Rav, Marbre de Ravina, kim dav mishachi achrin, de lavdul hu lo shafki lebrai, lemei, lebeisa safek. It's just that if they had other people who could do it, why would they, you know, even get their kids involved in something like this if there are others available? Aval ilohavu mishachi man di avidlu shabki lebrayu. If they couldn't have found anyone else to do it, then of course they would have let their kids do it. Kutavashur Rav Masan Rav Dimi, like Rav Masan Rav Dimi said. Good, that is the Rambam. So the Rambam would hold exactly the way you guys read the Gemara. That if you have two Amaran that say mutter, and then two stories of people who didn't let their kids do it, it must be, it's the way Alex was saying before, that really it's mutter, but, you know, try to avoid it if you can. That's how the Rambam read it. That's how, that's the way you read it. However, not all the Rishonim agree with the Rambam. Aval, Harif Veharash. This is one of those unusual cases where the Rambam is not on the same side as the Rif. Normally it's the Rambam and the Rif, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch is going to paskin. Over here it's the Rif and the Rosh against the Rambam. What do the Rif and the Rosh say? They don't really spell out so much what they hold, but we can read between the lines. Kasvu Kaloshana Zed. They write as follows, and we quote, Ibailahu, Ben Mau Sheyakiz Damla Aviv. That the Gemara asks, can a son do bloodletting for the father? Va'asikna. And the Gemara concludes, this is how the Rif and the Rosh do it. They skip the whole, everything in between, and they say, Vasikna, the Gemara concludes, Rav Papa lo shavak lebrei lemishkal salva, marbrei dravina lo shavak lebrei lemishkal lekabza, skips the first two answers. The Rif and the Rosh goes straight to, well, Rav Papa didn't allow his kid to do it. Marbrei dravina didn't allow his kid to do it. So what impression do you get from the Rif and the Rosh? What are they trying to show you? If they quote the Gemara, leaving out the V'yahavta l'reach kamocha, leaving out Makot HaMakabema, and only telling you about the Gedolei Amoraim that did not allow their children to do it. So you see, near Midrashim Shem Savam Uvda Deravu Demar Bere Deravina Pligi Al Pshitusa Derav Masav Ravdimi V'kaimelan Karav Udemar Bere Deravina. The way the Rif and the Rosh must understand it is this Gemara is a machlokas. It represents a machlokas. And there are two and possibly three opinions in the Gemara. When a child does bloodletting for the father, first opinion, v'avta l'reach kamocha, totally mutter. Second opinion, pater. Maybe that means mutter, maybe not. Maybe it means aser. But pater, you're not going to be chayv misa. Third opinion are the two Amoraim who wouldn't allow their kids to do it. Why? Because they held it's a violation of makav. So they wouldn't allow their kids to do it. So according to the Rif and the Rosh, it would turn out Chayiv Misa. If you do bloodletting for your parents, Chayiv Misa. Chenkas Rabbein Yeruchim B'Shem Rif Sheina Ben Mekiz Dam La'aviv. And that's what Rabbein Yeruchim writes in the name of the Rif as well. What do you expect out of the Shulchan Aruch when you have the Rif and the Rosh on one side and the Rambam on the other side? Rif and the Rosh. Because Shulchan Aruch is passing like a majority between the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. So you expect them to pass like the Rif and the Rosh. But the Beis Yosef always, even though that's his formula for Adipaskin, he always quotes other Rishonim as well, so we can get a broad idea of what's out there. For Ramban Kasa B'Torah Sa'adam, the Ramban writes in Torah Sa'adam, Alhani Uvdi de Rav Umar Bre de Ravina, on these stories of people who do not let their children do their bloodletting, Tamiya, Im Kein Lo Yis'asek Baki Berufuos Klal Dil Matai, Vavle Shiga Sayev. Ramban asks Akashi, he says, I don't understand. How could anyone be a practicing physician or a surgeon? What do you risk every single time you do surgery on somebody? You risk killing him. How can you do it? If you're worried about a child bloodletting because by Bishogeg he will wound the father and it'll make him chayiv, then how could you ever do surgery? Va'od ma'ishna ben ba'kazadav ma'ishna achar ba'kazad chavero. Dasam nami dilma mazik le shekamad dvarim shel sakana tulim ba'kazah. a son might hurt his father, anyone might hurt anybody doing akazah. No one should ever be allowed to do bloodletting on anybody. Now, how would you have answered that question? What's the difference? Why is it that a surgeon is allowed to do surgery, but I'm not allowed to do akazah on my father?
Not
cosmetic, but even if it's not life-threatening, someone breaks a bone or something, you can do surgery, and that's allowed. When I'm doing surgery on somebody, there's no issur in making them bleed, because it's therapeutic, right? The issur is only in if I kill them, I may accidentally kill them, or I may accidentally ruin them, or hurt them more, or injure them further. That's the risk of issur. It's a risk. If a child being makis dam for his father, even in a pleasant way, even in a way that's therapeutic, is a chiv misa, it's not a risk of a chiv misa, it is a chiv misa. By the Ramban even asking this question, he's assuming that when the child does akazas dam, when the child does bloodletting for the father, he's risking a chiv misa. But he's not actually doing a chiv misa. Meaning, therapeutic bloodletting is technically permissible. It's just that these people didn't allow their children to do it because if they mess up, then they'll be chayiv misa. But only if they mess up. That's what it sounds like from the Ramban's kasha. Says the Ramban, so what's the answer to my kasha? Why are surgeons allowed to do surgery? V'yesh lomar kivan shenit rishus l'rofei l'rapos. If you're doing surgery and you mess up, you can rest assured that you were doing a mitzvah, because a doctor has a mitzvah to heal people, and therefore that mitzvah will protect you. A child has no mitzvah to do akazas dam on a father, and therefore the risk isn't worth it. If there's someone else to do akazas dam, there's no reason the child should be doing it, and therefore it's not worth the risk of the chiv misa. A surgeon has to risk it because he's a doctor, it's his job, he has to try to heal people. So the risk is worth it because he's doing the mitzvah of healing people. A child has no reason to risk it.
Even if he's doing surgery on the father?
Even if he's doing surgery on the father. Now, look, or one could argue that a child to do surgery on the father would be mutter then.
Right, maybe he should risk it.
Right, maybe he should risk it. Yeah. Ulahai time agabe akaza, kiven the chavala gufa le refuahi, mutter le ben lahakas dam la aviv, de benova akhashav makaza zu refuah le shneem, mutter le shneem mitzvah, vim tovim misa le shneem ono, shigas misa bezin. Says Ramban, if this hakaza is actually therapeutic, the father's sick, it's not just maintenance, it's not just, you know, I feel like hakaza today, I feel like getting some blood taken today, but it's actually refuah, then the child would be the same as a surgeon. He's doing a mitzvah, and it would be mutter. So what we now have is three opinions in Rishon. We have the Rambam, we have the Rif and the Rash, and we have the Ramban. Just to organize. The Rambam holds that the halacha is a son is allowed to do any sort of bloodletting of a father. It's just kedai to be machmir. It's kedai to be machmir for someone else available. The Rif and the Rush hold that we don't paskin that a son is allowed to do it. A son is not allowed to do bloodletting on a father. And he's going to be chayv misa if he does it. The Ramban holds it depends what kind of bloodletting you're doing. If it's therapeutic bloodletting, that's permissible, because the only problem would be if you mess up and wound him, and if you're doing a mitzvah, you don't have to worry about that chance. But if it's not therapeutic, if it's not for a refuah, you're not allowed to do it, because you can't take the chance that you're going to mess up and wound him. Ulahai time agave akaza. Kivin the chaval gufa le refuhi mutal ben lahakas dam la aviv. Dibinov Yachshav, I just read that. V'uvda derav papa umar bre dravina lo pliga pasha debaya de pasha rav masar of dimelatera. The way the Ramban will understand is that when the Gemara says that the Gedolei Amoraim didn't allow the children to do it, that's not against anything that we said earlier about it being mutter. Yeah, it's mutter to do when it's for refuah. That's the Ramban. But then says the Ramban, Avol Rabbeinu Agadol Zal Kasa V'Bailu Ben Maoshi Yakas Dam Lavi V'Asikna Rav Papa Lo Shavik Lebrei. The Rif just says that they asked whether they could do Akazas Adam, and the answer was no. V'Av Shalomer Kein De'Avogav D'Mak Adam L'Refua Pateru Mitzvah De'Av L'Rechamachu Afilu Achi Kivin Dik Achrin Yilo Shavkin Lebrei L'Mever Achi Dilma Chavu Beit Fei Mimashu B'Derech Refua. He says, now here's what the Rif must be assuming. Of course a doctor is allowed to heal. And even a son who's a doctor is allowed to heal. But we're not going to allow a son to do bloodletting because, let's say he makes an extra incision that he doesn't need to. So for a regular surgeon to make an extra cut that he doesn't need to is a violation of Nisr Lav. For a child to do so and a father, though, is risking Nisr Chenek. So we don't want to risk that. And therefore, if you have someone else to do it, you have someone else to do it. So how do we pass in the Shulchan Aruch? Says Shulchan Aruch Simin Reish Mem Aleph Seif. No, Simin Reish Mem Aleph Seif Gimel. Source number 7. Skip source number 6 for now. Actually, you know what? Let's do source number 6 first. Hamakal Lavo Imo. Someone who curses his father or mother. Afil Lacham Yisasin. Even after they die, Chayiv Skilim Ubeidim Asra. Echolish Vechalish Shekilla. You curse a parent, even if it's after they're dead, you Chayiv Skilla. Assuming you use the name of Hashem, says the Rama. If you hit a parent while they're alive, whether it be man or woman, you're chayev chenek. Meaning, whether the child is a boy or a girl who's doing the hitting, chayev chenek. V'davka im asu bem chabura, only if you make an injury. Where does he get that from? That's beferish in the Mishnah. Only if you injure them. But if you don't make a wound, then it's only alive. One second. Halacha Gimel. Hayakotz tachuv la'aviv. Your father has a splinter. Lo yotzienu. Don't take it out. Shema yavalasos b'chabura, because you might wound him. V'cheinimu make his dam o rofe. If you're bloodletting or you're a doctor. Lo yak is dam la'aviv. Don't do Akazdam. What does that sound like? Like which Shita? Who's he definitely going against when he says, even if you're a doctor, you cannot do it? Definitely against Ramban. The Ramban said, once you're a doctor, all bets are off. So he's going against Ramban. No, even if you're a doctor, you cannot do it. V'lo yachtach lo ever, and you cannot remove his limb, afal bisha mechavin l'refuah, even though your intention is for the sake of refuah, says the Rama. That's if there's someone else who can do it. If there's no one else that can do it, then you're allowed to do it. What are they arguing about? Whose shita is who holding like? When the Mechaber says, absolutely in no circumstances can you do it, who's he holding like? The Rif and the Rush. Son is never allowed to do this to a father. The Rama says, oh, if there's no one else available, though, then it's okay. Who's he holding like? The Rambam. That without someone else available, you're allowed to do it. The Mechaber explicitly rejected the Ramban, that being a doctor is a heter. Being a doctor is not a heter. So now that's all the background that we need in order to study all of the interesting, detailed cases that come up in the course of the tshuvas that you have in front of you. Tomorrow, Bez Hashem, now that we have all the background, we have three basic shittas Rishonim, we know what the Gemara says, we know what the Shulchan Aruch says. So tomorrow, Bez Hashem, I want to go into all of the tshuvas and the different cases where children take care of parents and what they are and are not allowed to do. Yeah.